Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast. Does work have to be this way? No, it does not. You can make a big splash in the world without sacrificing your soul to do it. Call it existential angst, a midlife crisis, or just the desire to have another throw of the dice. You're ready to rethink this whole work thing and configure a life and a career that really reflects who you are and what you care about. Together, we can do this. Together, we're punks in suits. Hello, and welcome to episode 61 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are really well. I'm recording another episode of this show in the car. This is the sort of glamorous life that I lead. I'd be very interested to know from you what the sound quality is like at your end. I actually think it's going to be pretty good in here. I'm in a multi-story car park in Bristol. I've just dropped Ivy off at a 7-hour robotics, home education robotics workshop at Bristol University, and I have a few hours to myself, so it seems sensible for me to use that time to have a little chat with you. So that's what's going on with me right this moment. Some people have been asking how things are going with our travel plans. If you follow me on Instagram, it's currently Punks in Suits, although the name of the feed will change in a few weeks' time, but I'll tell you more about that in a few weeks' time. So if you find me on there, you can see that we have been in mad purchasing mode. We've just bought a solar charger, we've just bought some e-bags to store our clothes, and we've been spending a bit of money on revamping the inside of the van so that it's set up the way we want it. So I'm continually posting photos on there of how things are going. But it's because of that upcoming trip that I thought about what to talk to you about today, because one of the reasons that we're doing this adventure of traveling around Europe for a year and having no fixed abode is that I want to remind myself about some of the stages of change so that I can share those stages and my insights, my learning about that with you. Now, of course, I've been through lots of change in the past. Having a child was a big change, moving from London to the countryside, leaving the BBC, various times that I've reconfigured my business. There have been lots and lots of changes in my life. But it's difficult sometimes when you're looking back on those changes to remember exactly the process that you went through and exactly where the pain points were. So I thought it would be a good idea to initiate a new change. Now, of course, I'm doing this for myself and for my family and for my business. There's lots of reasons I'm doing this change, fundamentally because we want to. But I also had in mind that if I've had very recent experience of change and the process of change, if I'm going through it in the moment, then that will trigger for me, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about this stage, and this is something I want to share with people who are also at a crossroads and also looking to make momentous changes in their life as a whole, particularly in their professional life, in their work. So the topic of today's podcast is what I'm calling emotional and action mismatches. Whenever you bring about change, there are two elements to that change, both of which are crucial to success. The first is actions, and the second is emotional readiness. So, of course, actions, in a way, is the easy bit. This is deciding what it is you're going to do, and then making a plan of the actions that are required, and then taking those actions. So that's kind of the easy bit, certainly the bit that's easiest to get your head around. Emotional readiness is the second piece, and this is really the hard bit. And it's often overlooked, for instance, by businesses who want to initiate change in their organizations. So they create a change program, and it's very nicely organized, and here are the step-by-step instructions. And they think that, well, if it's a good idea, and if we've well thought through the action steps, then people will do it. All they have to do is take actions as required by the Gantt chart. So that'll be easy. But change is emotional, not logical. And things won't change, people won't change, even if they agree that something is a good idea, and even if the steps are clearly laid out, they won't change, even if they agree it's a good idea, unless they have the emotional readiness to change. This applies even when the change is your own idea. So even when you've woken up one day and said, yes, this is what I want to do, this is what I need to do, I'm putting the actions in place, these are all actions I'm excited about, and I'm going to just get on with it. All I have to do is wake up each day and do the actions that are on my to-do list that day. Even when you are as clear in your own mind as that, emotional readiness still plays an enormous part. It's often the emotional readiness that triggers the desire for change. So there's a mismatch between your experience of life, the day-to-day actions, the way you're living on a day-to-day basis, and what you're ready for. In my own case, my life was a bit too stable and rather repetitive, and I was ready for adventure. So there was a mismatch between how I was living, the actions I was taking, and the emotional readiness that I had within. So I initiated an adventure and I started identifying and then taking the actions. And this is pretty typical, right? This will be the way that most people initiate change in their life. They have an idea, they're maybe not ready for it, they become ready, and then they start identifying and taking the actions. At first, the action taking and the readiness run in parallel. My actions matched my readiness. I was excited and enthusiastic, and I was taking actions, and I was feeling really good about that. But what I've been reflecting on over the last few days is that occasionally, even though you start with action and emotional readiness in sync, during the process of change, they get out of alignment, they get mismatched. So it's a bit like in a movie, especially if you're watching a movie that you've downloaded, for instance, and the pictures and the audio are slightly out of sync. So the mouths of the actors are moving slightly ahead of the words that you're hearing. But it can happen either way. Sometimes the readiness is ahead of the action. And this is where you feel some frustration. So you're ready to go, 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 but there's a lot to organize and plan and do before you can actually get ready for real action. And I felt like that when the van was in the garage. I wanted to get on with fitting it out, but I couldn't because it was in the garage for literally weeks. So I was in this kind of holding pattern, even though I was emotionally ready to progress. But it can also happen when the action is ahead of the readiness. So you're ploughing ahead with actions as in accordance with your Gantt chart or your project plan or your to-do list, but your readiness is starting to fall behind. And this happened to me last week when the new bed platform was built in the van. So what we've done is we've taken out the seats that were in there, the original seats from 1989 or whenever the van was built, and we've built a bed platform. So we've raised the bed up. The bed doesn't collapse down now into seats. But what we've done is we've created a lot more storage in the van, kind of underneath the bed. So for our purposes, there's not much point in having back seats, but what we really need is a lot of storage. So we had a couple of guys over last week, good friends of mine that often help me with this kind of thing, to build this bed platform. And I saw the mattress and the pillows and a blanket all in place and thought, oh my God, I'm going to be sleeping in there. It's all happening too fast. I'm not ready. Meanwhile, the actions, especially those that have been outsourced to other people, keep driving ahead. And my readiness is lagging behind. And this is where the readiness is ahead of the actions, you feel frustration. But when the actions are running away with you and are ahead of your readiness, that's when you can start to panic. Or maybe you go back to the beginning and ask, is this what I really want? I'm not feeling so good about it now. Maybe this isn't the right thing. maybe it's not as dramatic as that, but you are feeling a little disintegrated. We've talked about this idea of integration before. Integrated is where the elements of your life are blended. They reflect who you are, what's important to you, the lifestyle that you lead. There aren't major tensions between the different elements of, say, work and home life. Everything blends well. And ironically, the whole purpose, or I've said there are lots of purposes, in fact, but one of the major motivations of this particular change for me is that I wanted to create a more integrated life. So starting to feel disintegrated as a result of the changes that I've made so that I'll feel more integrated is kind of unsettling. And that will often be true for any change that you're doing. You're changing something because it's not optimal, and you think that the change will reduce the tensions between the different elements in your work or the different elements in your life or the different elements between work and life. And then it's rather disconcerting when, in the very act of trying to reduce tensions and disintegration, you actually create new tensions and new disintegration. The reality, though, of my experience and what I'm reminded as I go through this whole change process again, is that actions and emotions are not always going to be entirely in sync. Sometimes one will be ahead of the other. You'll either have frustration at some points because of the low pace when you're ready for more, or you'll get a nervous or jangly feeling when the actions are running away with the project and your readiness has temporarily started lagging behind. I think this idea of temporarily in both cases is really important. It's important to recognize that readiness ebbs and flows. It's not a case of being bought in once and for all. It's more like flowing in and out of levels of readiness. At the heart of any change, and if you're going to withstand this ebb and flow, must lie something compelling, some kind of compelling sense of purpose that you can return to, something that doesn't change weekly or hourly, just as your readiness ebbs and flows. It's the bigger why of the change. There must be some reason that you're doing this that matters to you enough that even in those moments when your readiness has ebbed away, you're still in your heart convinced that this is the right direction for you. You know in your heart that your readiness will catch up, maybe after a sleepless night or a little cry on the shoulder of a friend or a slightly churning feeling in the tummy. You know deep down that there is a compelling why. It's normal. Change is not a straight line, and when you realize that, it makes some of the discomfort, this ebb and flow of readiness and action and the out of sync feeling that you will get a little bit more bearable. So if you're experiencing this and you're wondering whether it is a sign that things aren't quite right for you and that this isn't the right solution for you, by all means go back and check in again with your why. But know that there is no change, no significant change in any case, where the readiness and the flow of activity are always going to be in sync throughout. If you're trying to drive change in your organization, if you're a leader in your organization, this really is important to recognize, because you may sometimes worry that people aren't coming with you, and even the people that seemed really up for the challenge have somehow switched off from it or cooled to the idea. Meanwhile, there are actions to do, and actions are kind of driving the progress, the momentum, but somehow the energy has gone out of the project. I wouldn't worry about it hugely. I would go back to people and reconnect with the why and see if you can bring the readiness back up in sync with the actions, or rethink the actions and take your foot off the gas a little bit as people's readiness catches up. And if we're talking about change in your own life, change that doesn't really affect a lot of other people, and it's your own readiness that is ebbing and flowing, it's exactly the same. Go back to your why. Connect with what this was really about with you. Just double check in that those things are genuinely still important to you. And then either slow down on the actions, take the foot off the gas if you can. I mean, we have a bit of a deadline. We're moving out of our house on the 15th of March, so it's very difficult to slow down on the actions. But actually, a little bit of kindness towards yourself around your lack of readiness means, you know what, for a few days I might just have to wake up in the morning and do the actions even though my heart's not entirely in it, and trust that your readiness will catch up before too long. So that's it for today. I hope you found that useful. I certainly, for myself, this realization or remembering this from past experiences of change and reconnecting with it allowed me to give myself a break, really. Allowed me to say, yes, seeing the bed in situ and thinking about myself sleeping on it does feel a little bit uncomfortable. But you know what? There are actions to take. And in fact, when I felt that weird churning feeling and my heart started beating a little faster, I just got on with the actions. I ordered some solar lights, I ordered a converter, an adapter plug for the camper van, so when we're in Europe we can plug into to the power in campsites. I just got back into action, and you know, I felt back in control. Not that you're ever really in control of change, but I felt like I was driving the change again rather than the change driving me. So that's it for this week. We will be back, of course, next week. I'm going to keep you dangling. I know you're on the edge of the chair to know what are the changes that are happening with the podcast and the Instagram and the business. I'm going to keep you dangling until such point as I'm really, really clear enough to tell you about those changes without confusing you. But meanwhile, you can still contact me and get in touch in all the normal ways. Email, Instagram. I'm on Twitter, though I don't use it very much. We've got a couple of Facebook pages. There's a Brilliant Gamble Facebook page. There's a Punks in Suits Facebook page. I'm still managing both of those simultaneously. There's a Brilliant Gamble group. In fact, that's really where you want to be if you want to find out about our travel plans and what's happening next with the business. So a myriad ways that you can stay in touch. And with information about all of that, here is the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. You can stay in touch with us on Instagram at Punks in Suits and on our Punks in Suits Facebook page. You can also sign up to our newsletter at www.thatpeoplething.com. I'll say it again. www.thatpeoplething.com. You can also find out more about working with Mummy as a speaker or as a coach on that website too. And please leave a comment and a star rating on iTunes. Please 5 stars before it's fine. Go ahead and do that now, as it helps other people find this podcast so that they can reveal more of the punk underneath their